We read a few minutes ago from the first chapter of the Apostle Paul's letter to the saints at Rome. And as we turn to this chapter, we see indeed the sinfulness of man. In the latter verses of the chapter, we find many sins underlined. And we mourn the fact that so many of these have been taken on board by the government and previous governments of this nation. And that which is contrary to the word of God and vile in the sight of God has been legalized and even encouraged. And I think of those last words of the chapter, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And that is our nation this evening. And as we think of all the sins that are mentioned, and I even see there amongst them disobedient to parents, and we live in a lawless society, and if there is no discipline in the home, there will be no discipline in the classroom or on the street. If there is no respect for authority in the home, there will be respect for authority nowhere. And that is the state of our nation this evening. And the Apostle Paul has given us these verses. And I could not help but think, where the Apostle in London today and making statements such as these, he would probably find himself in a magistrate's court. Such is the spiritual decline of this nation that we love. Here was a man, and he loved the gospel. In the earlier verses of this chapter, he has indicated his desire to preach the gospel in Rome also, to visit them. And if you read the last verses of the Acts of the Apostles, you will find that Paul indeed preached the gospel in Rome. Here was a man who lived for the gospel. A man who loved the gospel. And I want to focus in particular on verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, or if you like, the Gentile. In other words, it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And we see the depravity of man listed in this chapter, and all or many of the sins that men engage in. And yet the apostle knows that this gospel which has been given him to preach is the power of God unto salvation for even the vilest sinner. And he says, I am not ashamed of it. And we need to remember that the apostle referred to himself as the very chief of sinners. But as I think of the apostle here, and his ministry and his love for the gospel. I think, first of all, how Paul remained steadfast in the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And you and I who know the Lord, we should not be ashamed to declare our faith in him, to let others know that we are the Lord's and that we have been transformed by the power of God through the gospel. As we think of the apostle, he loved the gospel. And he loved the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior, who is the gospel. Christ is the gospel. He said, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ." He preached Christ and him crucified. And if you're here this evening and you're not saved, and there's none of us despising you, there was a time when I was still outside of Christ and without a Savior. And but for his grace, I would still be in that state. So if you're here tonight and you do not know him, well, we're glad to have you here. And our prayer is that through the preaching of the word, the Lord might call you to him in saving faith. Paul, you see, unashamedly preached Christ. And he loved the Lord. And only those who love Christ and the gospel of Christ will be in heaven. Those who despise it and reject it will be lost and will perish eternally in hell, the lake of fire. And these are not my words. These are the Savior's words. And while the Lord encouraged his people on various occasions in speaking about heaven, for every time he did so, he spoke far more often about hell, calling on sinners to flee from the wrath to come. And so, here in Wattisham, I know that the gospel of Christ is preached week after week, unashamedly. As a congregation of God's people, you stand for the gospel, just as the apostle did. And the apostle Peter was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I think of him there as is recorded in Acts 4 and 12. And he was addressing those who had called for Christ to be crucified. He was addressing those who had rejected and despised the Savior. And Peter, who himself had fallen grievously a short time before in denying his Lord, is now a transformed man, and he is indwelt by the Holy Spirit and infilled by the Spirit. And he says in Acts 4:12 concerning Christ, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Our Roman Catholic neighbors would tell us that the Apostle Peter was the first pope. Well, I don't believe that for one minute, and I'm sure neither do you. But for those who do believe that and want to imagine that he was their first pope, they should listen to what he said concerning Christ. "There is salvation in no other. He is the one and only Savior of sinners." Christ is our only hope for eternity. And he calls sinners to repentance, just as he walked amongst men 2,000 years ago, calling sinners to repentance. We rejoice that through his Holy Spirit, he continues to call sinners here and now, that they might find in him and in him alone pardon for their sins and peace with God through the blood of his cross. Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Have you that inner peace this evening, knowing that your sins have been pardoned, that you are cleansed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you taken on board what the apostle is saying here? Have you experienced the effectual call of God, the Holy Spirit, to repentance and faith in the Lamb for sinners slain? And so when I think of Paul, he said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And this man of God indeed would die the death of a martyr, for he was not ashamed of the gospel. We think of the reformers during the Protestant Reformation. They were faithful in the gospel. They were steadfast, even unto death. And so for those of us who know and love the Lord, what the apostle is saying here challenges us. And we should never be ashamed of the Lord Jesus to declare him as our Savior. For he says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed." But Paul was not ashamed of him. And I trust that none of us here are either. But as I think of Paul, and he remained steadfast in the gospel, Paul related to the strength of the gospel. He says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." We as sinners do not have the power to save ourselves. We are bankrupt. In ourselves we are helpless and hopeless. There is nothing that any of us can do to transform our sinful hearts. Men might try to turn over a new leaf, to clean up their act. It might last for a little while, but soon that old sinful nature will manifest itself, and they're back where they started. I remember as a boy singing in Sunday school, "The leopard cannot change his spots, the negro change his skin. Nor can I change my sinful heart, nor make it pure within. But what I cannot do, Christ can. For Christ has died for me." Tell me, do you know with assurance that there in the cross of Calvary, the blood of Christ, which was shed to redeem men, redeemed you? And the only way of knowing is to know the power of the gospel in your life. You see, here was a man the old Saul of Tarsus, who persecuted the church. Oh, he was a religious man. If religion could have saved any sinner, Saul of Tarsus had nothing to worry about. A man who was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day in accordance with the law, educated in the school of the Pharisees at the feet of Gamaliel, a man who was both revered and feared in the religious world of his day. And it wasn't until that man with sinful intentions, seeking to wreak more havoc amongst the children of God, was struck down under conviction on the Damascus Road, and he realized that he could kick no longer against the pricks. And he was transformed and saved by the grace of God. And this man, Paul, he knew the power of the gospel, the reality of the gospel. Why? Because he had experienced it inwardly. The old Saul of Tarsus was transformed by the grace and the power of God. And that which religion could never do for him, the blood of Christ did. And he loved the gospel. Here was one, indeed, who could enter the city of Athens. And he could debate on Mars Hill with the philosophers of the day. And he could say to them, present your philosophies. Set before me your theories concerning man and the heart of man. But nothing you present can change a man. But I have something to present. I have a message to deliver. The gospel of Christ, the blood of Christ shed on the hill of Calvary, which is more than a philosophy or a theory. I have experienced the reality of it in my life. And you men of Athens who spend your time debating, consider this. A life-changing message. A message that transforms men, sinful men, and makes them the children of God. A message for the sinner on the road to a lost eternity, that if he is called by the Holy Spirit of God and believes, he will be fitted for heaven and will never perish. That's why the apostle preached the strength of the gospel. And we have in this portion of scripture a great, a massive list of sins. Some on the face of it appear more heinous than others, but sin is sin. But I must say this evening, there's not a sin being committed in this world that the blood of Christ cannot cleanse and deliver from. And of course, those who are transformed by his power will no longer practice that which is vile in the sight of God. The strength in Paul's message. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And then Paul rejoiced in the scope of the gospel. to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. To every one that believeth. There on the hill of Calvary, Christ's blood was shed. He did not die to make man redeemable. He died to redeem men. It was a definite work of redemption. All that the Father had given him to redeem at Calvary, he redeemed. None of his redeemed will ever be lost. But there's plenty of scope here. For I read in Revelation concerning the saints in glory, that they shall be there from every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Oh, when I think of him, the Lord is no respecter of persons. Regardless of one's creed, one's culture, one's color, one's country. He died to redeem those from every kindred and tribe and nation. God is no respecter of persons. He saves to the uttermost. He saves to the guttermost. That poor sinner lying in the street, held by many vices, held captive. The power of the gospel and the blood of Christ can set him free. Those indeed that we might see bearing the marks of a sinful life, nearing the end of the journey, if they experience that call of the Spirit of God and are regenerated by the Spirit of God and brought to a saving knowledge of the Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin. He that believeth, both Jew and Gentile, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The question is, have ye believed? Now you might say to me, well, I believe the Bible. I wouldn't question God's word. And I commend you for that. For there are those, some of them even in pulpits tonight in certain places, who question God's word. So for anyone in this gathering, even as yet unsaved, who would say to me, I do not question God's word. Well, I'm pleased to know that. But you can believe the word of God and believe what the Bible says concerning God's plan of salvation and what the Savior taught, and still not know him as Savior. I asked the question, have you put your trust in him? Have you believed in him? You see, that was the Savior's purpose. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That was the purpose for which he was sent. Now, when you come into this chapel tonight, you fixed your eye on a pew. You knew the purpose for which it was made. It was there for you to sit on and to bear your weight during the course of this service. And I don't imagine that any of you came in and you shook the pew to see if it was solid enough before you sit down on it. No. You placed your weight on that pew. You trusted it to bear you up. And that's faith in Christ. We might know clearly the purpose for which he came. But have you put your faith in him? Have you put the weight of your soul's salvation on him without questioning, without testing, believing what the word of God states clearly? That word which promises that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You'll never read in Scripture where the Lord turned away a repentant sinner. Oh, he didn't entertain time wasters. And he knew the hearts of men, and those who were genuine, and those indeed who were nothing more than stirrers and troublemakers. But where a needy soul came to him in repentance, he never turned them away. And if you're here tonight and you know not Christ, and you hear his voice and the call of his Spirit, I trust that the Spirit of God will irresistibly call you to Christ. And if you come as a repentant sinner to him, he says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. What does that mean? It means he'll take you in. But the question is, have you believed? Have you placed your faith in him? And there's plenty of scope here. You're going to be there in heaven, from every corner of the earth, from all generations. But will you be there? I can't answer that question for you. None of us can answer the question for one another. Salvation is a personal relationship with God and the Christ of Calvary. To be in heaven, you need to know him personally as Savior. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, always a reasonable God. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And Paul preached the gospel as the gospel is preached here in Wadisham. For he believed in the power of the gospel. He knew the power of it. And as we see this list of sin, God says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, and that great old hymn of Charles Wesley's. And with this I finish. We have those words. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who is grace so rich and free? May those of us who are the Lord's rejoice in the gospel tonight. And may any, and it is our prayer, who knew not Christ, in his will, come to know him, whom to know is life eternal. Amen.